Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different podcast in your internet browser. Here now is your host, Zach Clinton, on this edition of the Built Different podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this edition of the Built Different podcast. Guys, this month of May is a very important month and one that is near and dear to my heart personally as an aspiring counselor, and one that is near and dear to our hearts here at the American Association of Christian Counselors as well, as it is the Mental Health Awareness Month. You guys, our world truly is in a mental health disaster. Some people don't want to admit it, but it's just the truth. You know, people are hurting and people are broken. They don't know where to go or what to do. I mean, listen to some of these stats real quick. So pre-COVID-19, last year, or before the pandemic, one in five U.S. adults experienced mental illness in a given year, and yet only half of those received treatment. One half of all chronic mental illnesses begins by the age of 14, three-quarters by the age of 24. Listen to this one. One in 12 U.S. adults, or 8.5%, had a substance abuse or substance use disorder. And then from 1999 to 2017, the suicide rate has increased 33% in the United States. Then came this thing called COVID-19. And I want you to listen to some of these numbers now, having already gone through the pandemic and now after. So data from the Census Bureau show that 33% of Americans are exhibiting signs of clinical depression or anxiety. A Kaiser Family Foundation poll revealed that 45% of American adults reported a negative impact on their mental health due to stress and worry because of COVID-19. And then in a survey from the CDC, during late June of 2020, 40% of U.S. adults reported struggling with mental health or substance abuse. And listen to these real quick. 31% have anxiety or depressive symptoms. 13% have started or increased substance abuse. 26% have trauma or stressor-related disorder symptoms. And a staggering 11% have seriously considered suicide. These statistics are staggering. We are indeed in a mental health disaster, people. And overall, you know what breaks my heart is that people are struggling and people are hurting and people are dying to be noticed and seen. They may feel alone and isolated or unnoticed, unloved, forgotten, unheard, or just like nobody cares about them. In my prayer for today's episode, and honestly all of the episodes this entire month, are that they speak life and hope into the man or woman listening to the podcast who just feels helpless and who just feels hopeless, like they're overlooked and unneeded. But I pray that it speaks challenge and recognition to every individual to slow down, to stop what we're doing, to check in with someone, to reach out to someone, to stop and stand in a moment with someone who may be experiencing pain. Because let's be honest, everybody's going through something. And the truth is, it may be clear as day, but it also may be hidden by the masks our culture and society scream at us to wear daily. I believe this. A smile is one of the most powerful things a human can share. But a smile can also be one of the biggest masks somebody in pain can wear, because not everybody's happy and doing well just because they show you their teeth. So my challenge to us is to be present, to press into one another during this time, to check in, to help each other, and to be all in this fight together. Guys, joining us today to start out this month of May in this special podcast series about mental health awareness, joining us today is a world-renowned Christian singer and songwriter, Michael O'Brien. Michael battled with sexual addiction. By the Lord's love and grace, he's found freedom from its bondage. His message is now to bring help, hope, and encouragement to those walking in addiction And his prayer is for those acting, especially on sexual sin, to posture their hearts toward a Psalm 51:10 mindset, which says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Guys, you are not going to want to miss Michael's story. I cannot wait for you guys to hear what he has to share. That interview with Michael O'Brien is coming up right after this short break.
We'll be right back with more after this.
Danny Gokey. Extraordinary Women Worship Experience is returning to Thomas Road Baptist Church in October. I'm Extraordinary Women host Julie Clinton, and I can't wait to see you along with our friends Demi Lee Tebow, Laura Story, Shalene Bryan, and more. Returning with praise and worship, Michael O'Brien. And music from Danny Gokey. Advance registration tickets, only $64. Order online at ewomen.net. That's ewomen.net. Demi Lee Tebow, Laura Story, Shalene Bryan, Danny Gokey, and more at the Extraordinary Women Conference.
Welcome back to the Built Different Podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Michael, thanks so much for joining us today, sir.
Man, I'm loving it. Love to talk with you, and it's always a pleasure. So
yes, well, I appreciate it. It's a blessing just to sit down with you, spend some time with you, dive into your story. Sir, what I want to focus on today is something that you've mentioned to me recently, which is how we try to find our gratification in our sinful nature. Right?
Yeah.
Michael, you were once a lead singer of a band named New Song from 2000 to 2006. Man, you got some unreal records and some songs, Christmas Shoes, Rescue, What Held You on the Cross, and No One Can Sing the Lord's Prayer Like You. I will tell every person until the day I die that. That's just the truth.
Thanks, bro.
Absolutely. But Michael, during those years, coming up through the Christian music world, as you can say, you're battling, fighting with sin in your life. Can you just share with us for a moment what that season of life was like for you?
I think you have to go back, so six,
when
I was kind of introduced to Playboy magazines, and it was later, 12 years of age, when I was introduced to hardcore pornographic material, video. And it was all, you know, hidden. I didn't let anybody know. Of course, there's a long story of how it all came into the home.
Right.
But the bottom line is, I was attracted to it. And and then college, started living those things out a little bit with girls and not far away from the Lord. And then you think, you know, you get saved. I got radically saved when I was 23. And you think, well, you're not going to have any problems anymore. You know, you're married. You got, you know, and no, it was all just hidden. And for about 7 or 8 years, my wife didn't really know the truth. And it wasn't at that point, you know, the internet was just coming out.
Right.
It was more my thought life. It was more getting on a plane, fantasizing. You know, Jesus already set the standard when he said, when you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. So, you know, I was guilty. So then that kind of all came out when Heidi would have these Victoria's Secret model catalogs come to the house. And one day I just said, hey, stop getting that stuff. And she's like, what do you mean? What's the problem?
Right.
And in that moment, I kind of shared with her my struggles. And of course, she knew some of the stuff before Christ, but she didn't know that I still struggled. And that was, to be honest with you, a very horrible thing, because I think for Heidi, there was such a breach there that she didn't know about. It was just all lies. You know, she would ask me, and I was like, no, I don't struggle with that, because I just didn't want to deal with the reality of that. So it was very hurtful. And for me to see that it actually caused tears and hurt her opened my eyes to, like, oh, wow, my sin's not my own.
Yeah.
You know, it affects other people, affects people around me. So then I joined the group New Song, 1999. I'd found out that there was opportunities on the internet. And Heidi and I, at that point, I was gone so much on the road, and there's no justification of sin.
Right.
We all try to justify it.
Right.
Like, well, yeah, well, I didn't, you know, I was on the road or this or that. No, you're just, you love your sin more than you want to follow the Lord.
That's right.
And so I had to repent of all that. And I wish, Zach, I wish I could tell you, it just took, you know, a couple of weeks for me to get my act together, but yeah. It came to the point where we almost divorced in 2001. And a lot of things came out then. And I'm just thankful for a godly wife who loves the Lord, who understands about forgiveness.
That's right.
When somebody sin much, you love much when you're forgiven. And I remember this one thing I think it's important for your listeners to hear.
Yes.
She used to say, when there's a breach like that, and there were other things, I can't get into all the details of it, but there were some other breaches. Mm-hmm. And what a woman wants to do, if she's the one that's been offended, she would want to turn away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like you turn and put your arms like that. No, you don't touch me. Mm-hmm. But she was in the shower. I know it's kind of a weird story, but bottom line was, it was like the Lord was telling her, turn towards.
Yeah.
Turn towards. Because the very thing that she was actually needing. Now there was a godly sorrow there.
Right.
Which is extremely important for the healing process.
Right.
Not the, hey, sorry, I got caught.
Right.
But it's called contrition, and I have a great, it's the Webster's Dictionary, 1828 version of contrition. It says, literally worn or bruised, hence brokenhearted for sin, deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God.
Wow.
Humble, penitent as a contrite sinner. David talks about this in Psalm 51. And so she was experiencing that, and it did help her to turn towards. Mm. And that was a big part of our healing process. You know, all came out, the truth will set you free, but you can't expect it to just, like that, be great.
That's right.
You know, it's a time, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And for about 3 or 4 years, we went through that process of just me regaining trust with her.
Thank you for your vulnerability and just sharing that.
Yeah, I don't be the poster child for this, but you know what? I've heard a pastor say that God has chosen the things you'd never glory in for his glory. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
That's powerful right there. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to lust, pornography, sexual sin, sexual desire, that's something that so many men struggle with. I'm not saying women don't. Women do too.
Sure.
But a lot of men struggle with that. I struggled with that for a time in my life, back in my high school years. And it's something that when you're in it, it's almost like it creates this downward, nonstop cycle that Satan loves to use, right? The shame and the guilt are almost like a drug. It wears you down, and it'll keep you there time and time again if you let it. People will get discouraged. They get lost. They get stuck in this battle and in this fight. And it's like, since I've already blown it once, it doesn't matter, right? Satan tries to define you as a failure when you fail. And so, Michael, my question is, speak into the heart and the mind of someone who's battling sin currently in their life, and they just feel stuck in that cycle.
Okay, so you said two words that are extremely important if you're in Christ. So if you are guilty of a crime that you did before the Lord, let's say you've fallen short and you have gratified your sinful nature, then you are guilty.
That's right.
All right? And then there's this thing called shame that comes. See, I believe personally that by way of the Holy Spirit, if you're in Christ, when you're in sin, guilt and shame does come.
Right.
That's where it doesn't stop there. You don't just live in the now, the guilt, the shame. There is that godly sorrow, that turning away from. And then you have to understand the voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy is always going to condemn, always going to say you're never going to change. You got to know the voice of God.
Yeah.
God says, no, you can live a life of purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So you have to know the word. The Word of God. And I'm not saying just go around memorizing a bunch of scriptures, though I think it could be very helpful. To meet that person, sometimes I think men are more afraid of their wives finding out, or their wife finding out. Better make that distinction. Their wife finding out, or their kids finding out, than they are of the eternal consequences of that sin.
Wow.
And so you are sinning against a holy God.
Mm-hmm.
When we fall short and we gratify the sinful nature, we fall short of the kingdom of God. I mean, we're sinning against God. David said this in Psalm 51, against you and you alone have I sinned against. Joseph said, why would I, as Potiphar's wife comes on to him, he says, why would I do such an evil thing to God? If we can make the connection And to me, this is the big thing. If you can make that connection between you and God, mm-hmm. instead of just the people around you, hey, I'm sinning against her. Of course you are. You're sinning against your kids. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, I'm sinning against God. Mm-hmm. That only comes through a relationship with mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're just a guy who's just, who cares? They don't. You don't have, now that doesn't mean that there aren't guys who are faithful to their wives and don't know Christ.
Right.
But it won't last. I really don't think it ultimately will last. They're going to open up a big can of what in the world of other sins in their life that they don't realize.
Right.
So all that to say, I think you have to know mm-hmm. the voice of mm-hmm. God and what he's speaking in those moments mm-hmm. so you don't lose heart. Mm-hmm. You don't lose heart.
And you can't lose heart because hope is never lost. Sometimes it just needs to be redirected.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
It's good.
And I know some things that most definitely help, you know, when dealing with sin are things such as, you know, and what I want to talk about here is like the private sin, especially that mm-hmm. sexual sin is, right? You do it behind a closed door, right? You're not doing it with the door open with other people around.
Right.
It's when you're alone, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So there are things like putting controls in place, having accountability partners,
mm-hmm.
and like you're saying, bringing to light this secret sin, right? Because at the end of the day, that's God's grace, is when God reveals your sin and doesn't allow you to live in the darkness anymore.
Right.
But his justice, you can say God is a just God. That's when God allows you to continue living in your sin. Because at the end of the day, our sin is just deteriorating who mm. God has made us to be.
Yeah.
And so, Michael, speak to us for a second on how you are just continually striving now to be just a man who is pure at heart.
Well, I mean, it's a daily thing.
Yeah.
Can never let your guard down.
Right.
There are little boxes that are on computers like that are always enticing you. There mm-hmm. there are, I mean, you could probably even see a pornographic thing in a little box.
Right.
So your guard has got to be up complete, and that happens. Sometimes I'll be on the computer and just going through sports videos mm-hmm. on Facebook, and then something will pop up. Some people are exposed.
Mm-hmm.
to pornography, and some people seek it out.
That's right.
Most people seek it out.
That's right.
But some people can be exposed. It's what you do in those moments. What is the mm-hmm. aim
yeah.
of pornography? Anything, there's an aim. And we don't need to get into it. I think we can all kind of
yes.
go, okay, we understand what the process is and mm-hmm. what it's trying to make you do.
Right.
So I will say one of the things that was very helpful
mm.
for me in my walk was the accountability that I had with my wife.
Mm.
A lot of people go, don't be accountable to your wife. Have the guys, and if you're a guy, be with the guys. If you're a girl, go with the girls. I disagree. Mm-hmm. I think Heidi played a huge part, and let me tell you why.
Yeah.
We took I vowed to her. I said, anytime I would go out on the road and minister,
yeah.
and I would fall and say, I'd have some thought in my head mm-hmm. with on a plane or whatever, I'd have to come home, sit down with her, and I'd have to go, okay, this is what happened. And I would have to share with her every time that I failed
mm.
and see that response, see, but it was a confess. I was confessed. We're supposed to confess to one another.
Mm.
Now, I did have I had a group of men who I would, you know, meet with once a week.
Yeah.
And that was good as well. But I think the biggest help for me was having my wife beside me and her knowing the truth.
That's powerful.
Because if you don't, she's your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
She should know everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't have to get into all the specifics of some, you know, some of the sin was so dark, you don't even want to bring it back up.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, I think this is a common thing with most guys who have actually viewed pornography.
Mm-hmm.
They get the flybys.
Mm-hmm.
I could just be sitting around doing nothing,
right.
playing a game, or, and then I get that flyby of mm-hmm. something that happened 15, 16 years ago.
Mm.
And it's like, what do you do with that? And you have to be strategic. You have to, got to know the word.
Yeah.
You got to go, hey, Lord, and repent immediately. I don't know how that just came into my life right now, but Lord, I know that's not of you. Help me, cleanse my mind. Help me to do something. Call my wife maybe and say, hey, hon, what's going on? Just got to be proactive. You can't just sit back in it and just let it hit you.
That's right.
So I would say about the accountability, my wife was a big part of that.
That's good. That's really good stuff. Like you're saying, the flyby, Satan loves, I mean, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows our biggest weaknesses.
Yeah.
So he will dive into that weakness far greater than anything else and make you feel alone and isolated. So having your wife and somebody to be there for you as an accountability partner,
right.
I mean, that's so needed.
Yeah.
It's so needed.
You're in training, and let me say this too. We're in training mm-hmm. as men. Yeah, as you probably would know this, because in military, you have a 6-week training program.
Yeah.
And it's about beating your body into submission and your mind, because you have somebody drilling something into you. Right. The Bible in 2 Timothy says all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And this is extremely important to understand. As a man of God, you are in a lifetime training program. Your wife is, or your best friend is not going to come up to you, tap you on the shoulder and go, hey, you've done it. You're doing it. You're living the perfect life. No, you're in training. And sometimes that makes people discouraged. Like, well, man, how am I ever? Because we're always day by day needing the grace of God in our life. And we have to be in the Word to be able to fight the battle.
Man, that's so good. So true. Michael, your website, it has an amazing quote on it that reads this: when we finally figure out that success and self-worth does not hinge on the career we're building or the number of assets in our possession, but on our service and devotion to those most dependent on us, that is the beginning of something extraordinary. Michael, speak into your ministry. What are you trying to accomplish through all of it?
I mean, it's a huge question, because there's so many ways I could answer this in a way that, because there are so many different things that I do. I mean, I have a marriage ministry with my wife. You know, I'm trying to work with my kids and what they're doing. You know, my son and has a record deal, so I'm trying to pour into his life. But I think the ultimate thing is to bring glory to God. If we're going to boast, we need to boast in the Lord. It's only because of Him that we even can live a life that would be pleasing to Him.
That's
and
right.
so I'm trying That's to right. learn through servant. I think one of the greatest scriptures, and I'll share it with you real quick, in Philippians chapter 2, it says our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name above every other name, that the name of Jesus every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So, and it goes on to say, but here's a great example of this. As a worship leader, John the Baptist says, I must decrease, he must increase.
Yeah.
If I can teach my kids what it's really like to walk in humility in such a way where I can sing, like tonight in front of 1,800 women, but I can sing in front of 5 people in a room that, you know, they were expecting, you know, 500 and only 5 people showed up. Am I going to sing any different than I would? Or am I going to lead any different? So just to be humble, to bow before the Lord and go, everything you give me, because I'm so much like your listeners can't see, but I'm tight-fisted sometimes.
Yeah.
And the Lord is teaching me how to do this. And what I'm doing with my hands is I'm releasing it. Because with COVID, everything that happened last year, I had everything on my calendar and everything looked great.
Yeah.
And my wife and I were like, wow, you can't even take anything. You can't even take it. You don't have time to do any other things. Your whole schedule. So I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. And then boom, 30 concerts gone in 2 weeks. And it was like, Lord, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. So we got to humble ourselves before the Lord.
And that reminds me of a song that I've heard so many times, and it's, if more of you means less of me, take everything, right? Take it all, God, that act of surrender. And I think surrender is huge when we talk about sin and sin nature. Michael, man, this has been an absolute blast, but it really has. I mean, just to hear your vulnerability, because I think we live in a day and age that, you know, I think the biggest, honestly, one of the scariest things that you can offer somebody and the fakest things is a smile. Right? Because at the end of the day, just because somebody shows you their teeth doesn't mean that they're always happy and things are going well.
Right.
We wear masks, and we live in a culture and a society that tells you to wear a mask, tells you to look good and to act cool, and everything's going to be all right. But at the end of the day, to be authentic, to be vulnerable, I mean, that takes strength. That takes courage. But Michael, in closing, I want you to end it with this. Speak to the person that maybe feels like they're too far gone, right? They've been lost in this cycle too much. the battle's done, right? The battle's over. Or maybe they're just completely infatuated and in love with their sin. And they're saying, you know what? I don't want to give it up, right? I don't want to do this. But at the end of the day, speak into how God isn't asking you to give something up. What he's really doing is he's saying, let me come in the midst of your mess. I just want your heart. And then watch what I can do in and through you in your brokenness. Speak into that person's life.
Sure. This is not going to be deep or profound, Zach. Yeah. So here's good. What I would say to anybody listening who is either wrapped up in this sin or who does not know who Christ is. Mm-hmm. I would just go to John the Baptist's words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Mm-hmm. If you do not repent, the Bible says the sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm. If that does not get into your heart and create some type of fear before God, then God hasn't opened your eyes to the truth of the gospel yet. Wow. And my prayer would be is that God in this moment would open your eyes to the truth of the gospel, that you would understand that you bring nothing to the table. You understand the bad news, that you are, apart from Christ, you can do nothing. So you must repent to have eternal life. And then what happens is, the amazing thing is, the Spirit of God is deposited inside of you in a miraculous way. I can't even explain it, and I'm sure most, you know, maybe the theologians could do it better than me, for sure. And then he changes your heart.
That's right.
You're a new creation. This is good news.
That's right.
This is incredible news.
Yes.
And we don't ever, why don't we focus on this more? Mm. It's incredible what God can do to a heart that's humbled itself and said, you know what? You're right. I'm lost without you. Mm. The Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, no other name under heaven can you be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Oprah Winfrey's wrong. There's not 1,000 ways. There's only one way. His name is Jesus. And if you do not repent, then you have a bigger problem on your hand than pornography.
That's right. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, where can we find out more about you specifically?
You can go to my website, which is www.michaelo.org. And if you're a man and you want to learn more about living a life of purity, you can go to Facebook page that I have called Pure in Heart, and then in parentheses, for men only. Mm. And I've got about 750 guys in there right now.
I'm a part of it, and I love
it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I have a lot of guys in there. Not a lot of guys watch, but, you know, usually about 150 or so after a certain amount of time.
Yep.
And it seems to be helping some guys. And
most definitely.
So we'll see what happens.
Michael O'Brien, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your heart, your vulnerability. Thank you for the man that you are today. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Zach. Love you, buddy.
Man, what a powerful testimony and story. One that was completely, in a sense, enslaved and caught up in bondage. But then, by the grace and the love of God, finding freedom from it, running to him, clinging to him, and allowing God to just overflow in Michael's life. I just want to reiterate that same verse that I mentioned earlier, Psalm 51:10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. My prayer and our prayer here at the Built Different Podcast is that we truly would hate sin just as much as Christ does. Because if it breaks his heart, it should break ours as well. Guys, stick around, because we're going to be hearing a very special house call guest, as Miss Rachel Flick will be answering a question from one of you guys coming up right after this short break.
We'll be right back with more after this.
Danny Gokey. Extraordinary Women Worship Experience is returning to Thomas Road Baptist Church in October. I'm Extraordinary Women host Julie Clinton, and I can't wait to see you along with our friends Demi Lee Tebow, Laura Story, Shalene Bryan, and more. Returning with praise and worship, Michael O'Brien. And music from Danny Gokey. Advance registration tickets, only $64. Order online at ewomen.net. That's ewomen.net. Demi Lee Tebow, Laura Story, Shalene Bryan, Danny Gokey, and more at the Extraordinary Women Conference.
Welcome back to the Built Different Podcast, it's time for A House Call. This segment features professional counselors in our circle answering one of your questions.
Hey, everybody. On this week's House Call on the Built Different podcast, I'm Rachel Flick, licensed professional counselor. Today, I'm answering the question, what would you identify as some of the first steps in helping someone overcome an addiction? So I think one of the first things that has to happen is that the person themselves has to acknowledge that the addiction exists and that it's a problem for them. Because as long as it's motivated by it being a problem for other people and not taking ownership of that, you're never going to get the traction that you need to be able to get out of that space. Next, you need to figure out what is your deep, meaningful why. What needs to happen? What will come from you getting free of this addiction that is going to motivate you in the hard times when you're triggered and want to go back to your addiction of choice, whether that's pornography or food? You could be addicted to relationships. You can be addicted to work. You can be addicted to substances. But you have got to figure out what is why you want to change. Another important piece is figuring out what your pain points are that are motivating you. Addictions are ways that we disconnect and disassociate from hard things and traumatic places that have happened to us, and they meet legitimate felt needs in illegitimate ways. So we really have to peel back the shame of the addiction in and of itself and realize that it's a way that you have been self-soothing. And now we have to figure out what the deeper work is so that we can go there. The other thing that I'm going to encourage people to do is find healthy substitutes for the addiction. It's known by brain science that you can't just cut cold turkey. So for instance, if you're addicted to smoking and you want to start chewing gum, or you have a plan to do something else, whether that's doing some jumping jacks or push-ups to every time you feel that craving for that cigarette. And so these addictions are not things that we have to be ashamed about and keep hidden. Instead, we want to discover what's motivating them and why you want to be healthy, and then find healthy ways to substitute when you are triggered to use your particular addiction. On this week's episode of The House Call on the Built Different podcast, I'm Rachel Flick.
Hey, everyone. To learn more about Rachel, you can visit her at rachelflick.com. As always, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you next week on this edition of the Built Different podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. As we close today, we want to remind you about the upcoming Waymaker World Conference. This world premier Christian counseling event will be held in Orlando, Florida, September 15th through September 18th. Over the last 14 years, the World Conference has sold out with nearly 7,000 counselors, coaches, pastors, chaplains, and more, representing all 50 states and over 40 countries. To find out more, go to worldconference.net. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to join us next time for another edition of the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton.